Smoking has long been banished from many workplaces in the hopes of clearing the air for non-smokers, and let's face it, also discouraging the habit in general. But from New York City comes word of a new banishment for smokers. A Manhattan co-op, a tenant-owned building at 180 West End Avenue in the Lincoln Towers development, has banned any new members from smoking in their own apartments. The president of the building's board is quoted in the New York Times saying, "We've had shareholders complain that they smell smoke coming through the vents." Well, we've got Michael Schill on the line. He's a law professor and director of the Furman Center for Real Estate and Urban Policy at New York University. Mr. Schill, is this a new one on you?
Yes, I've never heard of a co-op adopting a rule like this. Many co-ops adopt a whole series of rules governing the way the co-op runs and pets and the like, but this is the first time I've heard of a co-op which actually denies admission to smokers.
Well, if you had to think of one, what would be the closest precedent that you can imagine for co-ops banning new members, a precedent that wouldn't be illegal discrimination?
Well, I mean, I would think that probably the one that's most common is co-ops that would say that pet owners can't live there.
Let's say that a couple buys an apartment in a co-op. They have two daughters who are 7 and 10, and neither one of them smokes. And then 5 years later, one of them starts sneaking a smoke in the bedroom. Could they be forced to sell their apartment or to evict their teenage daughter because somebody's smoking in violation of the co-op's terms?
Probably they can. I mean, the way that this would work is, what the first question one would ask is, does this violate some federal or state or local statute? And it turns out that, as you might imagine, smoking does not constitute a protected group. It's not like race. It's not like sex. It's not like gender. And co-op would be permitted to create rules governing behavior in that sense.
But if you were to stick with me in that hypothetical, couldn't I point to the people who already have apartments in the building and who wouldn't be affected by the ban and saying, so long as there are people in the building who are smoking, you can't throw me out of my apartment and make me sell because somebody in my household has started smoking?
Well, but you know, that what they're doing here is it's sort of a grandfathering. They're saying to people, well, you already bought your apartment. You've made your investment. We're not going to make you change your behavior. But anyone who moves in has the choice. They know what the rules are. If they want to live in the apartment, they better not be smokers. What you have here is basically a private government. And what they're saying to each other is, this is the sort of world we want to live in. What the law does is say, in certain instances, you can't wall yourself away from people and not permit people to join your community. Mm-hmm. But smoking isn't one of those groups that Congress or state or local legislatures have felt should be protected against the majority.
The shareholders at 180 West End Avenue have taken a step that would eliminate a class of potential buyers of their apartments. Are they doing so in what today is a seller's market or a buyer's market in co-ops in New York?
Well, and that's another interesting thing. They must feel that either the benefits of this are greater than the costs to them of really knocking out a part of the market, or they're making a calculated decision that a co-op that bans smoking will actually be more desirable and will command premium prices. So there's been some studies to show that rules that don't allow dogs, for example, actually increase the value of the co-op, despite the fact that what they do is they limit the number of people who can buy into the co-op.
Well, Professor Schill, thank you very much for talking with us.
You're very welcome.
Law Professor Michael Schill, who's also director of the Furman Center for Real Estate and Urban Policy at New York University.